Carl Cooley here from the Northwest Wisconsin News Center, and I'm in the studio with Jeff Foster. He's running for the new 67th Assembly District, which covers Barron County, the northern half of Dunn County, and the town of Auburn in Chippewa County. Foster is from rural Colfax. He is a sheep dairy farmer, has a Bachelor of Arts from UW-Milwaukee and an MBA from UW-Oshkosh. He co-founded the Wisconsin Sheep Dairy Cooperative and served as the first president of that organization. He and his wife of 39 years, Sharon, have two grown children and five grandchildren. Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for joining me here today.
Thank you, Carl.
So, anything else you'd like to add about yourself, your experience, perhaps any previous elected or public service experience?
Well, I've never run for service before or for elective office before. I did serve as the president of the Wisconsin Sheep Dairy Co-op, and but I've mainly just been a private citizen, raising sheep for many years, milking. I was the sixth person in the state to begin selling sheep milk commercially, and so got together with other producers, and we formed the co-op, and that kind of got the industry started in the state.
So tell me why you are running for office.
Well, I'm running for office because there are a number of issues that are before us in the state that our current legislature just isn't willing to deal with. My platform is based on the values of freedom, family, and community, and I don't see the current legislature emphasizing those values.
Jumping into some topics here, healthcare. We've seen the healthcare system close its door here in Northwest Wisconsin. You know, if elected, what would you do to make sure that healthcare remains accessible and affordable for Northwest Wisconsin residents?
Well, first of all, we need to accept the Medicaid expansion. That is something that would have brought in billions of dollars to the state had we adopted it from the beginning. We also need to look at regulation for healthcare facilities to make sure that there is access and affordability for healthcare in all parts of our state, especially rural areas.
Why would you support Medicaid expansion, and why hasn't it been?
I would support Medicaid expansion because it's just the right thing to do. It's money that taxpayers have paid into the federal government, and the federal government has allowed for this expansion, and it's good for low-income individuals. It's also it also helps support healthcare facilities. It hasn't been accepted in by the legislature because the legislature doesn't want to give a Democratic White House any kind of win.
Looking at your platform here on your website, you said that Roe should be codified. Please explain on that. Do you think the state should have a version of Roe here at the state level or something different?
I have said that I would want to see Roe codified, and that means that I believe that a woman should have the right to choose up to the point of viability whether she is able, willing to continue that pregnancy. And that is a decision that she needs to make for herself with the advice of her doctor.
Moving on to the state's budget. At the end of the fiscal year here, we have a projected $4.6 billion surplus. What do you think the state should do with this money and why?
The majority of that surplus comes from federal money that was provided for through the federal legislation. Much of that money has been spent by local governments for schools, for road improvements, for their highway departments and sheriff's departments. And so there still is a huge budget surplus from money that has not been spent. I believe that that money should go into projects that are going to provide capital improvement for the state, foundational funding to get programs up and going. The programs that we already have, they are supported by our taxpayer dollars, but we need to use extra funds for foundational and capital improvements.
Would you support any sort of type of tax cuts?
Well, I wouldn't support a tax cut for this money from the federal government. I would expect that if we can provide tax cuts, it would be from Wisconsin taxpayer money. Where I'd like to see us to do better on would be for low-income and middle-income families, if we can. I think that for the wealthy and for corporations that don't pay a lot of their profits to taxes should step up. After all, their incomes, their business success was a product of them living here in Wisconsin, living in the United States of America. That wasn't only their individual efforts that got them to this level of success.
Mm-hmm. So you'd say something more like higher taxes for corporations and wealthy while maintaining lower taxes for low-income and middle-class families.
That's correct.
Okay. Cost of living expenses, inflation, that's a big concern for residents. You know, if elected, what would you do to combat these concerns?
I think that we can expect for the inflation to continue to decrease. The major drive of this current inflation that we're coming out of, actually, was driven by the COVID pandemic and supply chain issues, not to mention some of the tariffs that were put in place even before COVID-19. Those tariffs did affect building trades. I made sure that I bought the metal roofing for my barn before the tariffs took effect, and saved a good chunk of money. Inflation, though, was a result of COVID, and there are things that the government did to help support families in that time, and it may have had a small contributing factor in the level of inflation. However, that was very minor. The major contributing factors to the inflation rate was the supply chain issue, and just so many industries that were hurt during COVID. Even the meat industry, they were considered to be essential industry, and meat packers were forced to continue work side by side during the peak of the pandemic. Many people died. Eventually, some meatpacking plants did close. Another factor of our current inflation situation has been bird flu. Bird flu has resulted in the dissemination of chicken and other poultry flocks throughout the country, which also contributed to high egg prices. So we can't just paint the inflation issue with a broad brush and just say it was, you know, just one thing. Each industry has been affected in a different way.
But what role could you say that, you know, if elected, the state legislator could help ease that for everyday residents?
Well, I think we need to be cognizant of where there may be price gouging. So in the case where especially transportation costs are coming down significantly from where they were, we would hope that those transportation costs would be reflected in the goods and services that we purchase with a reduction or at least a stabilization of prices. Inflation is a very difficult situation. Costs of production include so many factors that transportation costs would be one factor, but then costs of employees, salaries and wages have gone up significantly. So where you might have a reduction in some of the material inputs, this whole issue of the supply chain being disrupted and costs of that were associated with that increased so drastically. But now a lot of those costs are coming down, and hopefully that can be reflected. If they're not, then I think there may be a role for the legislature to take a look at how some industries might be price gouging and reaping untoward profits.
There's a housing shortage, which is also contributing to a working shortage, especially here in Northwest Wisconsin. That applies to both affordable, starter homes, single-family homes, and rentals. Right. You know, what role could state government, the assembly here in particular, play in easing these shortages?
Well, housing is a big issue throughout the country. And as you say, yes, up here in the northwest part of Wisconsin. And we need to take a very close look at this because it does affect businesses, their ability to hire qualified staff. And because if there's a lack of housing, they won't be able to attract those people. So we need to be able to provide housing, affordable housing for all levels of incomes. What I'd like to see is for there to be incentives for multi-income housing projects, so that where there's a neighborhood that's being developed or an apartment building that's being developed, that it be organized or developed in a way that would cater to not only one group of one income group, but to multiple income groups, and so that that area could actually provide a community atmosphere for all levels of incomes.
How would you see about trying to spur this these type of developments? Would it be through tax credits to the developer, grants, you know, subsidies of some sort?
Well, I think there could be a multi-pronged attack to this. I think what we haven't done in the past is empower home buyers or renters to actually be able to make those decisions, to actually be able to afford those living situations. It's one thing to provide incentives to developers, but it's impossible to show that they're going to pass those savings or those incentives on to renters. Renters and new mortgagees. So it's something that I think needs to be a multi-pronged attack.
Is there any sort of legislation that you could see yourself working on with Republicans on the other side of the aisle?
Oh, I think I would work very well with Republicans on a number of issues, a lot of economic issues. I think that so many of these issues that we need to deal with affect Republicans as well as Democrats. It's healthcare, childcare, education. All of these things affect all of us. And I think if we can sit down and talk in a reasonable manner about what our goals are for our districts, for our state, I think we can come up with some very creative solutions.
Is there anything specific that you could see yourself reaching out to your colleagues there in assembly if elected?
Oh, of course. Healthcare, especially mental health care. We've had a need for a mental health facility in this part of the state for years. And we thought we did have a solution of that $15 million that was earmarked for one of the hospitals that went under. And that never got spent. And then it never got spent again after when the hospitals announced that they were going to close. We need to reactivate discussion about seriously bringing a mental health facility to this area. And again, that's going to benefit all of us.
All right, Jeff, just wrapping up things here. Is there anything else that you'd care to talk about this morning?
Well, again, my platform is based on the values of freedom, family, and community. We need to look at all of these issues: freedom for reproductive health care, freedom to vote in the least restrictive way, freedom for our children from gun violence, We need to look at family issues, the child care assistance programs that we need to institute, funding our public schools, especially special education, housing, as we talked about. And then for community issues, we need to incentivize our apprentices and graduates to come back to their hometowns and establish their own families in the places where they grew up. We also need to look at farming issues and how to help farmers do the right thing for the environment.
Well, Jeff, I want to thank you for your time this morning, and good luck here. The election is November 5th. You can find out more about Jeff Foster and his platform on Facebook, Jeff Foster for New 67th Assembly, and his website, jefffoster67.wixsite.com/dems. Thank you again, Jeff, and you have a great rest of your day.
Well, thank you very much, Carl, for having me. You have a good day, too.